Hi, good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to Forbidden Panels Panelcast, the third in the series after a short vacation that we took from the last one. With me this week is Brandon.
Hola.
And Brian.
Yo, yo.
And again, I'm AJ, and in case you're confused, Brandon's the black one. Brian, who likes to spit out the blackness, but is not black.
Well, I might be.
It's true. I did a wiki search on him. He's got a little bit of everything going. He told me he was part Choctaw, and I was like, what's that? And then I looked it up, and they're the only race I've ever heard of that actually have a mythical origin. Like, there's like a whole like story to their origin that's based on Native mythology.
See, for a second there, I thought you said part Count Chocula.
He might be. I don't know. I'm going to have to go back and wiki it again.
We love Ricky. So anyway, yeah, we've been gone for a while because we were steadily working. I'm sure if we actually have any fans that listen to this, you are aware of the fact that we finally came out with our first strip for our webcomic Mags.
Something I'm very happy about.
As well as I am. Brandon seems ambivalent.
I think Brian deserves a shameless top for the inking that he did. Slash tracing.
Yeah, it was amazing. Yeah, I was a little scared to do it, but...
Oh, yeah, I forgot. Brian's complaints about the last ones were that we never, ever let him talk, so...
Yeah, I'm not talking for the rest of this panel, because...
And neither am I, so it's the Brian show.
It wasn't that you wouldn't let me talk.
No. See,
you were talking over me. Just sit right there, asshole.
And then there was silence.
Anyways, I'm just, you know, don't talk over me. Okay, and that concludes this podcast.
Let me just say that I'm definitely happy about the webcomic that we're working on right now. And per Brian's request, I'm going to do my best to either insert Hello Kitty pictures when I draw frames so that we know that they're mirrors or slash portraits. Either that, or I'll just write mirror in the frame when I pencil.
Or as a coworker of ours suggested, I'll make us a frame pictures.
Yeah, I'm all for that. I don't know exactly what I'm going to be doing next, but yeah, a fellow coworker has inspired me to design a webcomic where at some point, there's just a reference to Omega Supreme in every comic.
And I'm sure a lot of you right now are going, who the fuck is Omega Supreme, and is it a vibrator? Omega Supreme is a transforming city from Transformers comics, and that's all I'm going to get into that, because I don't want to admit any more geekdom on myself.
I'll admit some. I have no problem doing that. He transforms into, like, I guess some sort of base. But we were joking
with the
around
rocket.
That he has a train track that goes around him, that it just goes, it's just a circle, so it's like, what's the purpose of it? And that's when clowning
all this Transformer stuff.
Over your head. I personally have 300 of them sitting in my office at home. Which I'm sad about, because I haven't touched them in a couple months. They're all dusty.
Let's clear that up.
The toys I have yet to touch.
I'm a GoBots man. They're the urban transformer.
Oh god, I remember GoBots.
They're the poor man transformer.
I love Psykill, because he was the only robot that had a 5 o'clock shadow that I've ever seen in my life. And there's no explanation for robots having facial hair.
Well, what about, what was her name? The chick's name. She had, like, evil sideburns.
Was she a motorcycle kid?
No, she was that race car. Race car.
Yeah. I don't remember her name.
No one does.
They were just the cheapest Transformers ever.
Like, I want to say Evil Lynn, but I know that's, like, a He-Man character.
That is a He-Man. I know my Masters of the Universe lore.
If you hadn't said lore, I would have wondered about it. He-Man's onesie came into my room the other day. And I was impressed by the power of his graceful.
I think I still have some He-Man for the room sitting around somewhere.
What's sad is they probably still fit.
Oh
And then it was quiet.
Oy vey.
No oy vey. Yeah, so I don't know if you guys have... anyway, back to the webcomic that came up. It was actually, for me, a very proud moment because it was like 3 years of fruition had finally come true. A lot of work and everything that went into getting something, anything done. And here we are with our first webcomic up. And it came out great. I'll give you the process of how it went down. I mean, I did the writing. Then I hand off to Brandon, who drew it up. Did an awesome job drawing it up. Sends it back to me, you know, to see if there's anything he missed out, or if I'm like, oh, hey, look, I see your pennies, or something like that. After which we give it to Brian, who inked it up, and he did an awesome job inking it, but just brought life to it. I mean, it just made it more in-depth, and just cleaned it up, looked great. After which point, we send it off to Ryan out in Wisconsin, who just fucking... phenomenal job that he did on it of coloring and shading and bordering and just adding that professional touch to it. That, I mean, it blew me out of the water. I mean, I was having a really fucked up day, and then he sent that to me, and I was like, "Glory be!"
He started singing
"The Light in the Sky." It was awesome, and I was like, "Oh, happy day!" Anyway. Yes, I've seen Sister Act once or many times. So that was the process. I mean, we got it up on the site the next day and put it out there, and it was very proud. It was the first time I've ever gone up on my own blog that we have, SK.net, and posted my own webcomic instead of everybody else's. And I just have to say that I'm very proud of it, and I'm very proud of the work that everybody else has done, and very grateful for it. And I just want to say, my heart, my deepest appreciation to you guys, because you guys helped my dream come true, and I'm hoping it did the same for you.
Pizza party.
Okay, we'll throw a pizza party.
That was beautiful, AJ.
You know what, bitches? I tried to be serious. Fuck all y'all.
You know we can only be serious for like 15 seconds of stretch.
That didn't even last 15 seconds. But anyway, like I was saying, I'm very proud and grateful, and thank you guys, because it seemed like we came together as a team. And the next trip should be back up on this Monday.
Is Ryan going to be on this?
Hopefully.
Okay.
I'm going to let him know.
Because as mentioned, he contributed a great deal to the finalization of that comic. So I didn't know if he was, hopefully we'll be able to get some of his words on the creation of the comic on this panel cast. If not, hopefully the next one. Because, big ups. I got to big ups the the fellow African American on this team. So.
Yeah, I'm just a little bit worried though about how the inking and everything is going to look on this new one, because I tried doing it with my tablet instead of doing it by hand this time around.
Well, honestly, I mean, with how good the first one came out, I don't see it as getting any worse. I mean, it's our first one. And this entire made strip basically is kind of a dry run for us on how our comic books themselves will come out. So this is like our practice run. Okay, well, this is looking good. This is how we're learning to work together as a group. And we get to see a final product coming out. So when we actually get to work on an actual comic book, we'll already have like a formula down, you know, and a pattern and something good to go, you know?
Right.
And which again is another reason why I like doing the panel cast as well as the webcomic, because I want to document everything that we're doing and put it out there if anybody else wants to try it themselves, you know. And again, just we're learning to get the formula right. And being our first try and our first comic, web comic that came out, again, I feel that we gelled well as a team and it came together and it shows, you know. I mean, Brandon, the art was awesome, the ink was awesome, and then the coloring just brought it to life. I mean, it looked like a totally different picture from what Brandon had originally offered me.
Yeah, and maybe, I don't know if it's just me being modest, but, I mean, just drawing it, it seems kind of effortless, but when I saw what Brian did with the inking...
Brian.
It just looked so gritty, like, I really liked it. And then when I saw it finalized and colored by Ryan, I was just, like, amazed. I was in awe. I showed my girlfriend, and, let's just say I had a good night that night. I'm gonna leave it at that.
Which, like, I wanted to ask, I mean, you pretty much explained it all, but when you saw the final product as compared to what you put out, is that what you had envisioned it to be, or did you feel like it was an add-on to your work? I mean, did you...
Oh, it was absolutely an add-on, because when I initially drew it, one of the cool things, I was just trying to get input on hearing from just people looking at it, what it looks like and what needed to be touched up or redone, or, you know, if the images were depicting what was going on in each panel correctly. And I remember asking my girlfriend in particular about the third panel, who at the time, she was having a hard time on just figuring out what the syringe was laying on, and I had to explain it to her. And, you know, even she was telling me at that point, you know, well, once it's in color, I guess it'll be a lot easier to figure out exactly what's going on in that third panel. And then when I saw it finished, it was completely 3, 4, 5 times better than what I initially drew. So, I mean,
it had to please you about did it make you feel like, oh crap, that's what my shit looks like, that's what my drawing.
Yeah, it's weird. Like the first time I saw it finished, I was just like, wow. I wonder how much it would cost to have Brian just ink everything I ever draw. Like, just ever. Like, because I would pay him to do it. And then I was trying to figure out, like, how much bus fare, because I can't afford airfare, would be to go to Wisconsin and just hand off, like, duffel bags of just old work to Ryan. Because I've colored my stuff before, but I've never seen it inked or colored in that detail and that high quality. So
yeah, that last panel and that last one just, that was the one that, you know, got me the most when I finally saw the finished product. Was just
the syringe,
but I mean, just even like the way that the highlights on the metal and just that soft little bit of like glow from the syringe on, yeah, you know, the towels and everything. And it just,
I mean, to me, like that last panel nailed it. I mean, I think the first panel is a prime example of the art. The evolution of the art in that, I mean, again, no offense to Brendan's art, I think his drawings are great, but when everybody that I've shown that original penciled picture, the first one, they're like, what the fuck is that? Is that a mouth and a beard? Okay. Then Brian's inking flushed it out a little bit more, so you can tell a little bit more about what it was, but it just looked like an Asian beard because it was really stringy, which I'm guilty of. And then when Ryan nailed that last one, you can completely tell what it is.
Yeah.
But I mean the syringe as well, when you the first picture of the syringe, it just looks, I mean, again, no offense, it just looks fake.
Right.
You know what I mean? It just looks like this hollow thing, just a circle. Ryan adding to it, again, gave it the gritty, gave it that dirt, a little bit of realism and fleshed it out. Then when Ryan added the color to it, I mean, it looks like a fucking syringe right now. I mean, I thought, like, if I could take it, inject it, and become, you know, with the T-virus and stuff, and be a zombie.
Just to add on that, I do remember, like, when I first drew it, I didn't know what color certain things were going to be in the first comic, and I remember after seeing it finished on the third panel, I just kind of took a step back, and I was like, you know, even if I had never read this comic before, even if I didn't know what was going on, and I just saw that last panel with the syringe, I would know someone's about to die. The coloring in that last panel, like, when you see a syringe filled with, like, a neon yellow greenish liquid, that can't be good. Like,
yeah.
That is, yeah.
Like, damn. I'm getting injected with Mr. Clean today.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's all. I mean, how did you feel about inking? What did you think about the final product?
I was actually really dubious about doing it in the first place, just because it was not something that I've really done before. You know, and I was kind of afraid of fucking up somebody else's drawing. So, you know, it's like when I do my own work and my own shading and stuff, I kind of already have an idea of what I'm doing with it. And so, but it ended up not being as difficult as I thought, just because, I mean, you know, Brandon kept the line work really simple, so, you know, I kind of had a little bit of a free rein to, you know, kind of add some more stuff in there instead of just, you know, pretty much just having to focus entirely on what was already there. It's like, you know, I just went over the line work, and then I had a little bit of extra room to kind of to shade in things and, you know, stuff like that. I was thinking about doing a lot more solid black, but I don't know, it just kind of struck me as just a little bit more of like using like the cross-hatching for shading. And, yeah, I mean, I was really surprised with myself when it came out with, like, you know, looking at it, and, you know, I was like,
good God, I gotta touch myself.
I do that all the time.
Comic book or no comic.
Yeah. But no, I did give myself a little pat on the back after that.
Yeah,
you spanked yourself?
He deserves it, because, especially in that third panel, there's not a lot of shading or shadowing that I put into the initial piece. So, like, most of the detail and, like, the cross-hatching, all that you see in that last panel, like, 99.8% of it was all, like, his work. It was very simple. I'm a simple man. There's nothing really too complex about anything I do.
See, right now all of our listeners are trying to do the math and go, is that 0.2%? Am I drunk if I'm 0.2%? So they're all lost.
Those are the type of people I want reading this anyway.
Yeah, drunk makes it go down easier.
Yeah. Looks like we're hitting our target audience.
Right. I'm just waiting to get a copy in the mail, sticky. You know, like, love your shit. That'll be like the ultimate.
Please send all of those to AJ.
Don't worry, I will share.
You know, actually, I want to ask Brian something. Like you mentioned before, like how you're working. We're currently finishing the second one, and now that you're doing it with a tablet, I mean, I know that it takes some getting used to, but
yeah.
Would you consider it an advantage, or do you kind of like doing it the way you did the first one? Like, which one would you prefer?
Well, the first one you did it all by hand, right?
Yeah, I did it by hand. I just had just ink pens. It's really a completely different experience to do it. I mean, for one, you know, I mean, there's a different type of dexterity involved in just drawing it out. But one of the benefits of at least doing it on the computer like that is that I can like zoom in and zoom out, so like if I have to do that little detail work, you know, like the computer seems to register like an unsteady hand more than like the pen does, you know.
Right.
And so like with the tablet I can at least like zoom in, so like I can do those smaller details without having to worry so much about having like this fucking squiggle all over the place and stuff. You know, and plus there's the added benefit of Control Z, which is always nice. I don't get that in real life.
Right.
And but you know, so I'm kind of waiting to see how it comes out with the color when Ryan colors it in before I really kind of give my opinions on what I think of it. Because at the one hand, I was like, I was kind of satisfied with the way that I did it, being that I've never done something like this on a tablet before. I've only had a tablet for like 2 weeks now, so you know, I'm still learning it. So.
Yeah,
I'm still waiting too, because I didn't even get to see the ink product, which I'm a little sad about.
I know in my design work and previous projects that I've done, graphic design work, when I first used a tablet, it literally took me a week just getting used to drawing and looking up at a screen.
Well, like you're left-handed, right?
Yeah.
You're left-handed?
Yeah.
Did you use go left-handed with the tablet, or did you go right?
I did left-handed with the stylus.
Do you think it was harder as far as design-wise, or?
It wasn't necessarily a harder, but it does, like Brian said, it just takes like getting used to, especially if you're someone that's used to doing everything by hand, or traditionally you know, drawing by hand. And then it just kind of felt unnatural to me to, like, I'm looking up at a screen and I'm not looking at my hand as I'm drawing something. But
because I know, like, watching you draw, having watched you draw the second one, you're pretty much like 3 inches from the paper.
Yeah.
When you're drawing, and you're all like, so I'm sure, do you have to like relearn how to draw?
I mean, yeah.
I'm sure there's like some getting used to having your head straight up at the screen and not watching your hand, but I mean, does that, watching your hand add to it, take away from it?
Watching your hand completely takes away from it. And what's funny, like you were asking me about which hand I use, it almost feels like you're, like if you're left-handed, it almost feels like just trying to draw everything with your right hand all of a sudden. It's like, I went from, hey, look, like, this is a really cool picture of, like, Wolverine on a skateboard with smoking a stogie to, like, what's that comic book, the webcomic you told me about, The Rule of the Stick? Or
Order of the Stick.
Order of the Stick. Like, I was just like, hey, look, Order of the Stick, like, cool. Not till, like, that comic book is awesome, but I'm just saying, like, I could barely draw stick figures, like, the first time I tried to draw. It felt like I was drawing stick figures with my right hand.
Let's not talk stick figures. just to give you a little background, the first strip that we did was, you know, all basically one paper, boom, 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 word of mouth description of how it should go out. The second one we tried, we got these little books that have, like, these little... Was that the second one or the third one? I believe it was the third one.
Yeah, the third one
that we got, the next one that we're doing after this one, was done on those books that are pre-paneled out and have, like, lines on the side to describe them. I can't draw for shit. I draw, like, an epileptic two-year-old, like, wiping its own ass at the same time. That's my stick figures. So, like, I'm lucky if I actually remember that the hand has five fingers when I'm waving. I put more detail into the syringe, which is a block and a thin line.
You're not giving yourself enough credit.
Anyway.
He's our storyboard artist, by the way. He does some awesome... He does, like, 3D stick figures, and I don't even know how that's possible. But he does them. They're great.
You know, if the bullshit piles up any higher, we're all short. We're not going to last long. And we left the boat at home.
I'd like to consider myself average height, actually.
Anyway, so this time we tried that method. So I'm wondering, like, is that method adding to it? Having me draw it out, give it to you, did it make it easier on it?
Absolutely. The first comic we did, it was just basically just all drawn up off of a script. A brief script that AJ kind of handed to me. And then I went home and, you know, penciled it out. And then we and went from there. On the third one, it was a lot easier doing it with the storyboard. Because I could actually see how you wanted each panel depicted. And, I mean, like, I understand you don't think you're a good artist, but the basic ideas you were able to get across and illustrate. So that's the most important part, making sure each panel looks the way it's supposed to.
Well, I mean, we ran into trouble on the second one. Because Brandon had drawn up some stuff, and not only am I the writer, but I'm also the editor. I make sure that the continuity and stuff is there, and we bound ourselves in some sort of reality, you know. So
you did.
So there were a couple of errors in there, and Brandon had to redraw the first strip, the first panel of the strip. So what I wanted to do with the third one was just eliminate that problem anymore, because I didn't want to add any more extra time onto it, you know, and any more work that Brandon would have to do. So that's why I just pre-scripted it out and pre-drew it out as far as, like, where we want the point of view to come from and all that stuff. So hopefully from that point, doing it this way, again, this is all a learning process for us. We've never, you know, done web comics or anything before. So we're all just learning, right?
Yeah, yeah. Well, it definitely was a learning experience for me. So, like I said, I've never really done a project like this before, you know. And, you know, I'm still practicing a lot with my own sketching and stuff like that, and so, you know, I mean, but it definitely was a good thing to kind of practice on. You know, I mean, a lot of my artwork and stuff that I do, I work a lot with, like, you know, 3D and stuff like that, so I think my drawing's been kind of taking a little bit of a hit in terms of I just haven't really practiced sketching a lot, because, you know, a lot of the projects I have to do it all in 3D, and they, you know, they always say that, oh, well, you have to, you know, do concept and stuff first, but then, like, this school didn't really give you enough time, because they start wanting you to, like, put the 3D stuff out, like, immediately, and so I ended up spending a lot of time just doing that, and so it was kind of nice to be able to have something to, you know, do some more traditional type of artwork on.
So something to add on to, as opposed to draw from scratch.
Yeah, yeah. So... Yeah, but I mean, like I said, you know, it being my real first attempt at doing something like this, I think it turned out pretty well, so I was pretty happy with it.
Cool. And having the template for you, Brandon, that worked out better, you think?
Yeah, I think it streamlines things. I think in terms of making a better comic, the only thing that really draws back is, I guess, more paper, but, you know, as long as there's no environmentalists getting on us about that.
Or just buy recycled paper, it'll be awesome.
Yeah, but I do think it makes things easier, and in terms of the quality of the artwork, the panels can be bigger and all the same size, and, you know, once that image is scanned, it's able to be even more detailed. And Brian and Ryan can work the magic that they did on the first one even better, so I think it was definitely the optimal choice for us to go that way.
But, you know, that was one of the other things that impressed me about what Ryan had added on. So when these are drawn out, I mean, the panels are pretty much flush to each other. There's like a thin line separating them. And the way he had put it out is that he put borders around it and then put titles. You know, put a professional looking title on the top and the bottom, and it was a completely different entity by the time it was done. So, you know, again, kudos to Ryan and both you guys for, you know, getting it done. It was odd for me personally to see my words drawn out. You know what I mean? So it's like, you know, when you're reading a book and you read the words and you automatically put your own pictures to those characters and the words that you're reading. So here I am writing those words, and you guys are just adding pictures on top of it, and it's weird but cool all at the same time. You know what I mean? So I was pretty jazzed on it.
How's that process for you? I mean, when you're when you work on an idea and you, before you even draw it out, because I know for me, and I don't know if it's just because I'm an artist, like I literally walk around all day with like little movies playing in my head of like just I'll be like, alright, hey, what's this guy's on the drive-thru? And he pulls out, this big-ass katana, and he, throws it through the drive-thru window. Is that how it works for you when you're writing something?
For me, honestly, I've got, I'd say, 5 solid story ideas in my head a day.
Wow.
Backflushed, all worked out, everything. Characters, histories, universe, the whole nine, a day, different.
Wow.
And so, you know, most of the day, not only is that stuff going out of my head, but I'm also, dividing and flushing out, well, that's crap. Why would I want to do that? Okay, that's similar to this. Why would I want to do that? And then just isolating the one idea and then putting it down on paper. So, because I used to do, the free writing, where, I would just sit there and be like, okay, well, I'm going to write about that flower and how that flower goes through the process of, growing into a huge weed and pollinating everything around it and how all those weeds grow up and ended up clogging up the entire ecosystem where the roots just get into the water pipes underneath it and spoils the water and endangers this person who drinks the radioactiveness that comes through because they happen to wash through some radioactive dump, and now they've become some big mutant monster who's climbing up to the sky and destroying buildings and keep killing people and destroying children's lives and hopes and dreams. You see what I mean?
Right.
That's how my brain works, and that was real-time on the fly improv that I just did right there, and that's how my brain works all fucking day.
Wow.
With stories. Okay, so you know, I also have to weed through and figure out which one is going to work, which one makes sense. Will it work as a film? Will it work better as a script? Will it work better as a webcomic, a book, a story, a comic series? You know what I mean? And by the end of the day, I'm just like, okay, well, let's go with simplicity's sake. I mean, originally when we started out, we saw the Cell Block Infinity story that we want to do, the apartment story that we want to do, and everybody else's stories that they want to do as well. But I decided, well, for simplicity's sake, let's do the maids, because
right,
it can be done boom, boom, boom. So for me, I just sit there, I'm like, okay, well, first I want to see the maid's hair, then we see the maid walking through the hallway, and then a syringe and a needle. Okay, well, where that logically, where does that take you? And where do I want to ride that story to? You know, and so I just keep writing section by section by section. And I've already got the story flushed out. I mean, I have all the way until the world ends with this thing. But for simplicity's sake, I just break it up into 3 panels of easy storytelling and go from there. You know, so.
Yeah, I know when you first told me about it, I thought it was kind of going to be just a short story. But upon, I guess after the third story, I realize that this is actually something that's going to go into, like, the history of the characters, and there's a much larger story arc that's being developed, so...
Yeah, I'd definitely like to, maybe try my hand at, right now, some of it, too.
Yeah, it's not a problem. Actually, that brings me to my next point. The next point I wanted to bring up, we're doing another comic called Security. A little web comic coming up, a little funny, extreme measures of people's security measures that they do to keep either being safe or, keep stuff off the sidewalk or what have you. And so with that, I want to throw out the invitation to everybody that's listening or even visiting the site or just friends of ours. If you have any idea of just extreme shit happening as far as security goes, let us know. I mean, honestly, and we'll draw it up. I'll give you an example. So you got a skater, right? He goes up and he goes to, jumps on the handrail to do a rail slide. Well, what if all of a sudden the rail just developed a sharp blade on it and cut the board in half, cut the guy in half, and half of the body and board just clumps on both sides of the rails. Oh, and then the blade retracts, the body disappears, and it just looks like a standard handrail. Right? So, that's just an idea, and it gives you a good, visualization of what we're looking for. So if you have any ideas, stuff like that, just submit them to us, be it the forums or email, and we'll draw it up for you.
We're going to end up getting like 12,000 submissions from people with like rat traps on their nuts.
What are you talking about, man? We got 3 people that go to our site. And that's us. But yeah, if you got ideas, what have you, man, throw them at us. Because, I mean, we'll throw it up there and so you can see it and see the experiences that we have in seeing our words and our ideas put up on paper in art. So submit it and we'll go that way. And now we're all clean.
I'm hungry.
You're always hungry. And I hate you for it.
I'm thinking about this battle I'm about to watch between Captain America and the Incredible Hulk. I was watching the first Avengers movie earlier.
The Ultimate Avengers.
And I was talking to Brian about it briefly, because he told me he had never seen it before. And I was just telling him how I've never really been a big Captain America fan, but he earned so many cool points for me when I saw that movie for the first time, and he tried to fight the Incredible Hulk by himself. I was like, wow, that white boy's got some balls on him.
You know what the story's based on, don't you?
I think it's based off the Ultimates.
Right, it's on Volume 1 of the Ultimates, and it's I wouldn't say it's verbatim, but it's pretty close, but definitely read the Volume 1.
Really?
Because it's just more gritty and more violent, and you get more respect for Captain America. He goes toe-to-toe with Hulk.
Really?
Yeah, and it's pretty intense. Favorite line in the entire series is also the favorite line in comic books. Hulk hornier than shit, Betty. That's the Hulk climbing up a building, trying to get to Betty, and bang the shit out that bitch, because she's on a date with Freddie Prinze Jr.
Wow.
So, that's where it spawns from. Check it out, it's the shit.
Freddie Prinze Jr.?
Yeah.
Oh, I've got to read this now.
It's pretty awesome. And all the Ultimates is, in case you guys don't know, it's just a re-envisioning of the Marvel Universe. It takes away from the 616 and puts it into a different universe. And it's pretty cool.
What I really liked about it as well was, I remember the older Captain America, I think they briefly talked about his shield and how it's made out of vibranium. But in the movie, and I'm assuming in the Ultimates story arc as well, they kind of flesh out, like, not only what vibranium is, but where it came from.
Wakanda.
Actually, yeah. But if I'm not mistaken, I think it's, like, an alien alloy that, like, landed to Earth from this alien spaceship.
Yeah, from either the Kroll or the Skrull or the other one. I can't remember the name.
I know in the movie they call him, like, the Shi'tar or something like
that. Yeah, the Shi'tar.
Yeah.
It's a good story. The Ultimates are pretty good because, again, I like comic stories that have definite endings. And
yeah.
Going through the Ultimates, I mean, Volume 2 was, dear Jesus. it was every superhero in the world throwing down. And do epic global ass whippings. You know? And it was awesome. And then it ended.
Not just those regular ass whippings, not just your regular run of the mill ass whippings.
It was epic and global.
Those are the kind of ass whippings I'd like to see.
You're a dirty little man. I don't want to see the torture rack you have in your basement.
It's not my basement.
He goes to Ren Faire.
I hate you.
And that's why we all work together so well. So, speaking of which, actually, I don't know where it's coming from. I finally saw Jumper.
Really?
Yes. Did you guys see it?
No.
No? It's shite.
Really?
Yeah.
I was waiting for the bootleg.
Yeah. How do you think I watched it? Check it out, okay? I watched a downloaded copy of it, right?
Uh-huh.
And for some reason, something was wrong with the audio, so it made everybody's voices a little higher, high-pitched. So Hayden's voice was actually tolerable.
Oh, okay.
And the movie still sucked because Hayden was in it. They, like, flushed nothing out. I mean, the special effects were awesome. You know, the fact that they changed it from Banff to something else kind of rubbed me the wrong way, but Samuel is Samuel. But it's just Hayden. Hayden all over the place, and I can't stand him. And it just it killed the movie for me. So,
well, I'm glad you told me. That just saved some money trying to rent it. I was going to wait for the bootleg, but now I might just watch it at your place. If you think you can stomach a second viewing.
Got your TV, maybe.
Read the book. I strongly recommend everyone to read the book. The book is actually really good. That's the only reason I wanted to personally watch the movie. And if you guys don't hear me doing a panel, or if I'm not on the panel cast next weekend, it's probably because I'm going to go see superhero movie. But I'm going to write a review for it, actually, and get that submitted to you. And
I'm actually going to go see it as well.
Yeah,
we should make a panel going to go see the movie, honestly.
You know, I'm actually lobbying for that.
All of us roll into the theater to go see a superhero movie?
Yeah. That's
all, I mean, because
I know the Kikorian's right by you, and that's my theater of choice.
Yeah, I mean, you just need a car, Brian.
Yeah. I need a lot of things.
I'd love to. I mean, for me, when I go see a movie, I mean, it's cool to go see it with my girl, because my girl's actually cool enough to where I can actually have a decent discussion with her about it. But if I'm going to go see a geek movie, I like to be surrounded by a bunch of geeks.
Yeah,
you know, when we went and saw Transformers, it was cool because, like, beforehand the hype, and then afterwards the chat about it.
You want to talk about nerddom? Oh, my God. Premiere of Transformers, the movie.
I can't imagine.
Me and, like, 18, 20-something of my closest friends, we're in the theater. There's, like, another 15 minutes before the movie starts. Our entire row lit with Nintendo DSs. Everyone's just going at it. Like, some of us were playing Bleach. Some people were playing Tetris. I had never seen that many geeks and portable computer video gaming devices. Just, wow. Right before, like, you know, probably one of the greatest comic books that our generation, or cartoons that our generation grew up watching, so that was probably one of the greatest moments in geekdom that I've experienced.
While Brandon and I waited in line together, we got separated in the theater.
Yeah.
My theater had the non-geek people.
Oh.
So, of course, I'm sitting there with the whitest white people in the world and my PSP. Right? So I'm watching the movie. I geek out when I hear Peter Cullen's voice. Everyone's looking at me like, what the fuck is your problem? You know, so it kind of ruined the experience for me. But, I mean, the movie, you can't argue with the movie. The movie was just awesome.
You should have been in our theater.
Now, you know, I wanted to, but
there was big-breasted women calling out Orion Pax, which is Optimus Prime's, like, real name, that I didn't even know. I knew it, but I had forgotten. And, like, they're, like, trying to clue me in, like, hello? Like, what the fuck's wrong with you? And I'm just like, whoa. Like, it was kind of like Bizarro Redlands that got that
You know, I wanted to start singing out, You Got to Touch. But I didn't want everybody reaching out to touch me, so I held my breath and my tongue. But for superhero movie, dude, I'm down. Let's get everybody together and go catch it.
Yeah, I'm going to write a review on that, and hopefully I'll have that turn that into AJ that following Monday so he can post it on the site. I also need to give you I did write up that Devil May Cry 4 review, and I've been emulating like crazy lately. Like, I've been all into ROMs.
I think you're saying right now Brendan is actually in 16-bit.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm actually interested in doing some retro gaming reviews. So be on the lookout. I can tell you right now, I'm sure the first two reviews I write are going to revolve around Samurai Showdown games. Because
that's fine with me.
There was a
Aomaru.
Yeah, there. I don't know if you guys. I'm sure you guys probably have known, but a couple years back, they actually made a Samurai Showdown RPG, and this guy that writes coding, he's translating the entire RPG game into English, and I'm waiting for that patch to come out so I can download that. But that's something that I definitely want to do. I want to get some more. I want to get some more people on the site that are in the gamage. I know comic books and video gaming kind of go hand in hand, and anybody who's a big video gamer and a big comic book fan knows that comic book based video games tend to be crap. So unless Marvel Ultimate Alliance was awesome, I still play that to this day.
You know, I like playing that game to hear the catchphrases uttered.
Yeah. Go through that game with Deadpool in your party, and you will hear some of the he has some of the funniest lines.
That's because Deadpool's the man. I am down with, and the fact that Ryan Reynolds is playing him in the Wolverine movie, cargasms. I mean, come on, now it's the shit.
What's just your thoughts about Ryan Reynolds anyway?
You know what?
The only thing that would make that movie better is if Wesley Snipes came out of nowhere and sucker-punched him. And Stephen Goyer, or David Goyer, because I know he's not too happy with those two.
The Triple H showed up and he's like, well, now, motherfucker. By the way, any movie with wrestlers in it should not exist.
I agree.
Really?
Name me one good. I mean, except for The Rock.
What's the one where Hulk Hogan fought Zeus, but like his name was something else?
No Holds Barred.
Yeah. That was like a movie / pay-per-view event when I was a kid.
What was the one where Hulk Hogan was an alien?
Superman Commando.
Yeah. With Christopher Lloyd.
And mean Mark Callis, otherwise known as The Undertaker.
Wow, I didn't even know his real name.
Fountain of useless knowledge, right here. Says the guy wearing a zombie Spider-Man shirt.
I'm pretty sure the world knows him as The Undertaker. When he orders a pizza from Domino's, he probably just gives them The Undertaker. Because then they wouldn't fuck up his order.
Rest in pizza. Pepperoni's over his eyes.
I wish you guys could see the look of disgust on Brian's face when we start talking about wrestling.
Or the fact that Brandon almost shot Dr. Pepper out of his nose.
I hate you guys.
Let's hop on to another subject. Comic books. Have you guys... I know Brian has read one of my favorite comic books of all time.
I've been fucking reading comic books like a madman. Like, in between reading my novels, I'm also reading comic books. So I can get bored of one, just jump over to the other. But what did I read? Well, first of all, I finished reading Watchmen, like you suggested last time. Read Watchmen, and I thought that one was great. And, you know, I love the fact, too, that, like, aside from, you know, Dr. Manhattan, none of them had any powers. They were just...
Right.
They were just these guys who dressed up in suits, you know, and it was like, so it was kind of like almost like lampooning, you know, comic book characters, but at the same time, not really, because it was a really serious story. And so it was great, and the ending of that one was just great. I fucking, I'm kind of looking forward to seeing the movie, even though Alan Moore fucking hates every movie that was ever based off of his comic, right? You know? But, you know, fuck him.
Oh, wow.
Sorry, Alan.
Hey, you did The Simpsons. Fuck you.
And I just finished reading
Rising. Hold on. Let me just say that, like, I think I gave out this tidbit last time, but I just found out that for the movie of Watchmen, they're actually, the DVD release, they're actually filming the comic that's within the Watchmen comic as an add-on for the DVD release, starring Gerard Butler. I think his name is 300.
Who should have played Sabretooth in the Wolverine movie, if you ask me? I think he would have made an awesome Sabretooth. But I digress. Continue. I'm sorry.
Anyway, so they're filming that as an extra add-on, which again makes me all geeky and happy. So, anyway, back to you. I'm sorry, I spoke over to you again. My bad. No,
I'm quitting now.
The other one that I just finished reading was Rising Stars, and that one, fuck, that one was good. That one, like, it's like, on top of that, I'm also starting to read On the Road, so, like, those two things are just really depressing, and I was like, oh, man. I just started, like, feeling, like, really old and depressed all of a sudden, but, no, Rising Stars was phenomenal. That, just the storylines, and just, like, you really, I mean, you get a feeling for these characters, even though they're, like, these super exaggerated, like, you know, crazy powers and stuff, which, you know, normally kind of, I think, detracts from comic books sometimes. It just, they were such human characters,
right?
You know, and it specifically deals with the fact that people don't think of them as human,
right?
You know, and it, so
it just, have you read it, Brandon?
No, I haven't.
I highly recommend it.
Yeah,
it's, I don't know if I have it.
I gave it to you.
Oh, okay.
There are certain comics that whenever I burn discs, comic discs for all my friends, there are certain comic books that I put on there as I have to read. V for Vendetta, Watchmen, Rising Stars, stuff like that. So I'm sure I put it on there for you somewhere.
Okay.
Read it. It is an amazing, amazing story. And pretty jacked up. Like, I think I said it last time when we talked about it. It's one of the first comic books that ever made me cry when I got to the end. Because it's just the writing in it, Krasinski, the man. Nailed it. The characters, backstory, the whole nine. Just from beginning to end, I believe it's only 23 issues, 24 issues.
23 plus there's like a couple bonus issues.
Right, not half issues or what have you. And from beginning to end, you just don't want to stop reading. And he did an amazing job, and I recommend it. And now, everyone I've given it to, I gave Ryan copies of it. Not only does he love it, he's now eBaying hard copies of it, eBaying collector's edition copies of it. Everything. He's a diehard fan.
I'm getting ready. I was just going to go to the bookstore and just try to, you know, find some of the graphic novel for him.
I mean, it's just awesome. The artwork is great. The story's great. You should definitely read it.
I guess I'm going to have to do that.
Side note, Straczynski's also penning the script for World War Z, which I'm very looking forward to.
Is that going to be another comic, or is it like a movie adaptation?
It's a movie adaptation, yeah.
World War Z is zombies.
Oh, okay.
Max Brooks.
Max Brooks, yeah. He wrote a book. It's basically like a bunch of first. It's written like a bunch of first-hand accounts of different people's experiences, like collected together about this zombie war where like zombies finally take over the whole world and just like people's experiences and what happened.
What did you say wrote that book?
Max Brooks.
The zombie survival guy.
Yeah, the zombie survival guy.
Yeah.
That was actually really funny.
He's what's his name? Mel Brooks' son.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he actually last year at Comic-Con introduced George Romero on the stage.
Yeah, I was talking with Brian the other day, and he actually showed me that book, and I just thumbed through it, and I'm referring to the zombie
survival guide.
Survival guide, and I get to. Reproduction or something like that. I was just thumbing and happened to end up on that page. And it gives this funny description on how, like, not only do zombies have no desire to fornicate or have sexual intercourse, but, like, you know, they just can't, like, they have no necro-type feelings, and it, just the way it was written, though, I'm not doing it justice, but it just made me want to read the book more. I was like, if this one excerpt is that funny, like, I can only imagine what it delves into.
Well, the sad part about it is I've heard nothing but accolades for all these books, and I've yet to read any of them. But I know
I got them both, so if you ever want to read them,
yeah,
either
sure.
of you guys.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to have to read that survival guidebook.
It'll change your life.
May I suggest your next comic for you? Preacher.
Okay. Yeah, I'm just starting that one.
Have you read
I've
Preacher?
I've been meaning to read Preacher for a long time.
Preacher is another one of those hands down, like, Jesus fucking Christ, this is awesome books.
Really?
It's basically about this guy, this preacher, who gains the power of the Word of God. Meaning anything he says, you have to do. He tells this one guy to go fuck himself, and he literally does it to death. Like, finds a way to put his dick in his ass and fucks himself to death.
Wow.
You know, so it's that, and there are people chasing after him. The backstory fleshing out. He's hanging out with his ex-girlfriend, who's an assassin, and his best friend, who's a vampire. And they're traveling the country trying to figure out what the fuck's going on with their lives.
This definitely sounds like the kind of thing I need to read.
It's awesome. It's awesome. This one character's name is Hair Star.
Okay.
And the shit that happens to this poor guy is awesome. Just to give you an idea, somehow he ends up with his head cut in a line straight across, and it looks like a dick. And so he has to wear a hat so people stop calling him dickhead. An idea of the story. I mean, you run into the 1 millionth descendant of Jesus Christ. You know, all this other stuff is just awesome. Read it. It's gritty. It'll if you're a churchgoer, you'll be definitely 100% guaranteed to be offended.
I'm liking this better and better.
So definitely read that. I suggest that as the next book you read.
All right.
Another reason for it is not only is it a good story. I like recommending comics and stuff to my friends because I want them to be on the same page and have debates and discussions about them, but I also like to do it because I know that the movies are coming out or what have you, so when we do a geek night at the movies, we can compare
it to that.
HBO TV series, Zack Snyder, the guy that's doing Watchmen, walked up to them, the producers, threw down the first comic book and said, I want to do this, verbatim, each episode of the comic book. And they said, good to go.
Wow.
He's in the process of making it now.
Wow.
So, it's about 99 issues, I believe. So it's going to run a good couple seasons. But read the comics. I suggest both of you. You need to catch up on the Rising Stars. And then afterward, Preacher if you can.
It's just not enough hours in the day for me.
I know one of the things that like inspires me...
Sleep.
One of the things that inspires me as a writer is reading the comic books and stuff. So maybe it'll help you guys, inspire you as artists. Maybe
most of them.
And I'm not saying that the timeline that we have, which we have to set back again for our fans that are out there. We were trying to do the webcomic once a week, but now we're going to set it back to once every 2 weeks. Because, again, we have other projects going on and work and life and everything. So when we do hit the lottery and we can afford to make money and do nothing but this all day, then it'll come out on a daily basis.
Yeah.
Until then, we're going to try and make the webcomic come out once every 2 weeks. So in the meantime, if you need motivation or what have you, I suggest that you take time to read these comics. I mean, you breeze through Rising Stars in, what, 2 days? 3 days?
Yeah.
Right? And with school and work. Right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, granted, you get no pussy, but...
Hey, I get online pussy, all right?
But still, I'm just saying, you know, Brandon, if you got the time, read it. I know I, at least once or twice a week, after work, I head down to the coffee shop, the local coffee shop, and I just sit there and I read for a couple hours a night. And
it's going to be hard putting my laptop on my girlfriend's back, but I'll see if I can negotiate that.
Best comic from the least I can do.
I'm sorry.
Best comic strip from least I can do is the main character doing that. He's like got the laptop on the chick's back and the cable reaching. He's like, it reaches, we're good to go. And she's like, can we talk about this? It's awesome. I sent that to my girlfriend. We've been dating ever since. So. You guys should check it out.
Well, one that I was actually trying to get started on out of the group that you gave me was Powers, because I remember you mentioning how good it was, and it just sounded like an interesting story.
Right now, Powers is my favorite ongoing story.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I have my favorites that have ended or what have you. Powers is my favorite ongoing story. The only bad thing about it is it's independently put out by Bendis himself, so you get like an issue every 2 months.
Oh.
You know, so the wait time in between there is kind of painful, but at the same time, you're always looking out for it.
Right.
So again, if I may suggest, since it's an ongoing story, you've got time. You know, the longer you take, maybe more issues will have added up by then that you can read up. So I would read the ones that have already ended, the self-contained stories. Just so, if anything, we have something to discuss on the podcast, plus the movie's coming out. What else are you guys up to? Well, what have you been up to since the last panel cast?
Well, besides working, one thing I think I spoke with you about, I'm actually trying to finish writing on a graphic novel that I'm trying to start work on, hopefully this summer, and that's actually for Bloody Roar, which I don't know how many people are familiar with it. It's originally called, I think, Beasterizer in Japan, but it's based off of a fighting game, which had a storyline focusing on these humanoid beings who have the ability to transform into these, I guess, humanoid-like animal creatures. The main character, to turn into a werewolf, there was a bat. I'm working on making a graphic novel adaptation on that, and I've been trying to write that whenever I don't feel like falling asleep, so that's pretty much what I've been focusing on when I'm not trying to take care of the comic. That's the most recent thing. But I haven't written anything since I think Wednesday. But that's what I've been doing in most of my free time.
I used to have a cardboard cutout with the Bloody Roar, the big werewolf.
Are you serious?
Yeah, it was pretty badass.
Wow. I'm like jealous now. But yeah, hopefully it's something that I know I spoke with you with AJ, and you know, given that you have the ability to create an entire universe 5 at a time on a daily basis, hopefully it's something that I can sit down and work on with you.
I'm glad not to be on there, because then we'd just be overschooled on universes overcrowded, you know. Unless I probably wouldn't work where I work. Anyway, Brian, what have you been up to?
Jeez, well, not really a whole hell of a lot. I mean, aside from working and going to school, you know, reading the comics that you gave me, and I've been spending a lot of time on an online nudie site.
Yeah. DeviantNation?
DeviantNation, yeah. It's, well, I mean, I don't want it to seem like it's just like some, you know, like one of those, like, wank off sites or whatever. You know,
my understanding is it's like a photography side of art forms and body art and stuff like that.
Yeah, it's like a real tasteful, like, you know, it's like nude photography. It's not a porn site. At least I wouldn't categorize it as such.
Right.
You know, but I mean, they have like forums and like, you know, like they have like a journal and stuff like that. So it's kind of like MySpace with like pictures of hot girls on it, which is I like. And I'm in forging a lot of relationships on there. I've actually been plugging our comic on there a lot, so I think I've got a couple of the girls on there, so I have to come visit the site and sign up.
Yeah, actually, I've noticed some DeviantNation people signing up on to the forum, so welcome to Forbidden Panel. And being is that your nude art models, Forbidden Panel would be a good name for where you should be. A lot of people don't know this. I do photography on the site as well, so I would love the opportunity to shoot anything like that if anybody would be interested. I'm actually trying to establish a portfolio for myself on that side too.
I've been trying to like convince, like, you know, the moderators and stuff on there that they need to have a presence at Comic-Con, so it'd be kind of nice to have some of them there.
Well, hey, if they want to, like, go halfsies on a booth for us with us next year, I'd be down, too. I mean, we can only help but promote each other.
Yeah.
So, if you're listening, holla.
Yeah, I've been plugging the shit out of our stuff. Deviation. Like every time a new webcomic comes up, or you know, some thing that we've done. Every time we've done a panel cast too, I always like put a link up there in my journal.
You know, it's kind of and I don't mean to harp on our fans if we have any, but it's kind of disappointing to see just how many hits we get on the panel cast and the lack of response that we're getting. You know. Again, even if you just want to blast us, even if you like you put in three words of y'all suck dick, I don't care what it is, I just...
Yeah, that's true. I mean, I keep going on the forums to try to look and see like what people are saying. And
nobody's saying nothing. Yeah, not even when we put up the first webcomic. Understandable that, you know, it's the first webcomic. You're not going to understand what's going on or anything, but we don't even need you to comment on the story. It's just the artwork or something, just... Let us know you're excited to see what the next strip's about. You know, man. It's bad at least. Any at all.
Or at least, you know, like, tell your friends to go sign up for this forum so that they can go see, like, this stupid ship, you know,
right.
Something.
any feedback would be helpful. We're still looking for more artists. I put out some ads on Craigslist, so we had a good response. We met with a female today. Her name is Lynn. She's going to join us and start doing some artwork for us, but we're still looking for more. I mean, we have lots of stories out there to tell. We can't all just put all the weight down on Brandon here. You know, I'm sure he'd appreciate a little break.
Wherever you are.
Help.
So if you're interested in drawing for us, I mean, even if you're not, even if you just want to post your artwork on our forums, please do.
Well, as an artist, if I can just... I don't mean to cut you off, AJ, but as an artist, one of my favorite things to do is just to look at other artists' artwork, because, especially in comic books, there's so many different ways that, you know, people draw, and you know, I was impressed by some of Lynn's stuff, and, you know, hopefully, I mean, I definitely look forward to anything that she'll be doing with Forbidden Panel, but, yeah, the more the merrier. I mean, just, there's so many different stories that we have right now that I know that you and Brian have been working on, and it's just...
Well, they have their own stories as well, I mean...
Right, but I mean, there's just, yeah, there's so many stories, like, it's just, the more artists we have, we're just gonna have so many different styles and so many different ways to portray, like, a lot of these great stories, so... Whatever, anyone that's out there that's interested, like, definitely hit us up and contact us via the website, because we are definitely, like, interested in just getting as many different art styles out there, and I think that even touches on what you were just talking about with DeviantNation. I think one thing that I've noticed since joining Forbidden Panel is that, you know, just art in general, like, there's so many different mediums in art, and Forbidden Panel just has a strong interest in just art, like, regardless of what shape or form. I mean, you just heard AJ say himself that he does some photography, so, I mean, just any artists that are out there and interested in working with us, please contact us.
I know that's one of the stories I wanted to do, involve just a comic book with nothing but photography to tell a story as opposed to drawn art. To give you an idea, I want to do like pictures of people walking, just, you know, photography shots of them, but drawn in. I want to do angel wings behind them as they're walking, you know, or drawing added in like special effects features or what have you, but still keep the real artwork behind it. That's one of the stories I want to work on as well.
Okay, so like with like, you know, like using like photo manipulation software,
right?
And stuff to,
but I mean, you're gonna tell that it's obviously drawn in, like you know, a black and white photo with color wings, you know, stuff like that. It's just another story I want to tell, and I can't do it without either A, models, B, side photographers, and so on and so forth. I mean, art is art, whether it be music, movies, photography, drawing, writing. anything, and I myself have a great appreciation
of
all
of it. Put something out there to have somebody like write us up a theme song or something for Forbidden Panda.
That would be awesome.
That would.
Of course, we'll like get like these big fat ass speakers and walk around con playing our own theme song every time we go anywhere.
Without a booth, we'll just walk around. Yeah.
We'll be our own booth. There's four of us. We make calls. Awesome. But so please, if you're just interested in joining us, we have open door policy, man. Just send us an email or post on the forums, something. There's many doors and many ways that you can contact us, you know. That was one of the things I strived for when I created the site, was we want contact. We don't want to scare anybody away. We have open doors. I mean, one of the things that Ryan and I had discussed when we came up with the name Forbidden Panel was that the idea that what you have and what, you know, a lot of people have all these ideas and styles and works that they want to do and put up there, but they don't think that they're good enough or they don't think it'll ever make the mainstream. Well, this is the forbidden side of that, the forbidden side of Marvel, DC, Image, you know, that these people have ideas and they have talent. They're just not mainstream because of the elitistness of other major companies, you know. So this is why we created the company. It's not just our ideas, it's everybody else's ideas. A full banner of ideas that we can put out, you know.
Plus, you know, the more people contribute to us, the more steam we pick up.
Right.
So it helps everybody.
Right. I mean, picture yourself at Comic-Con, the biggest convention ever on Earth, sitting behind a booth or behind a table pimping out your own stuff, as opposed to being a wandering soul looking for something to do, you know. And there's a different side of life that you can look at. And I'm hoping, personally, just to open the doors to help you get there. You know, as long as I take my work there as well, you know. So, that's how I roll. Deep.
Deep.
And you guys have any final words you want to throw out there? Anything?
I hope everyone has a happy Easter. I know that sounds odd since AJ was, talking about Preacher and how that comic book is not really for good Christian folk, but yeah, everyone enjoy your Sunday. At the very least, don't do anything. Just sit around in your, I don't know, your flip-flops and hang out, eat a ham, Easter stuff.
I just want to get some food.
I'm sorry I mentioned that ham, Brian. I forgot about that.
Brian, a ham?
I haven't eaten anything yet today, so I'm starving.
We're going to go eat after this.
AJ, do you have any final thoughts you'd like to add?
Come on, hungry. Actually, along with Brandon's sentiment, I wish everybody a happy Easter. I hope you guys are all safe. Enjoy your day off. I know I personally have plans to sit on my fat ass on the couch all day, be it watching TV, playing video games, or just...
God of War.
Well, PSP, I play that anywhere I want to go. But, I mean, you know, everybody be safe. So if you want to get a hold of us, you can email any of us, Brandon@ForbiddenPanel.com. Brian at ForbiddenPanel.com, Ryan at ForbiddenPanel.com, AJ at ForbiddenPanel.com, or just info@ForbiddenPanel.com. Many doors open, like I said. You can contact us anyway. We're hoping to get our new strip up by next week, which would be the 31st to April Fool's. And then hopefully on a regular basis every 2 weeks after that. The next panel cast, I think, we'll do after we see superhero movie.
Unless we do, like, a superhero movie special panel cast where...
You know, we could. You know,
yeah, the day of the movie.
We could just wait while we're waiting in line, just say, hey, you know, get some interviews in and stuff, because I love doing that shit, too, on-the-spot interviews.
People in Redlands are friendly. I think they would let you interview them.
I think so.
You couldn't do that shit in San Bernardino.
What do you think of the movie? Is that a Glock? So,
alright, stop with the being racist, guys.
Racist? What are you talking about? Yeah, anyway, also stay tuned. Ryan will be doing his own podcast, panel cast, and adding it on too, so check the forums for that. Keep checking the site, and until then, we hope you guys have a happy holiday and a good couple weeks.